on radio network programs, as well as the archives thereof, and many other fine liberal talk archives. He's got a fundraiser going on. You will not get a bill from Ben, but if you like what you get, you need to support him in whatever manner you can. Please. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. When he tells the electrons where to go, they go in a hurry. This show and all the other shows on the Head On Radio Network happened because there are several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, and they get up every day and they go to work and they build the American dream. And by supporting the growth of this America's other liberal network, they're saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. At least 35 people were killed in Iraq today in two separate bombings. Police also said more than 20 other people were killed today in scattered violence, while the U.S. military reported a U.S. Marine had also been killed. The Associated Press reports that equipment costs in Iraq and Afghanistan will total more than $17 billion next year. That includes costs of replacing, repairing, and upgrading Army equipment. Military leaders are expected to testify before Congress tomorrow about the escalating costs of the wars. In Washington, President Bush said any reduction of U.S. forces in Iraq will depend on whether Iraqi forces are capable of taking over security. His comments came after General George Casey announced a plan to withdraw some 7,000 troops by the fall. Also in Washington, White House spokesman Tony Snow defended a post-September 11th financial tracking program revealed last week by the media. He credited the program for the apprehensions of a man linked to a bombing in Bali and a man from Brooklyn who provided massive financial support to a terrorist group. President Bush says it was irresponsible for the media to report the program, and one lawmaker urged the Justice Department to prosecute the New York Times. Mr. Bush said the disclosure hinders the U.S.'s ability to win the war on terrorism. But the Times says some of its sources were concerned about the legality of some U.S. policies. The Supreme Court has upheld the death penalty statute in Kansas, but overturned Vermont's election finance law, saying it hinders candidates' abilities to raise money. The High Court also said today that it will decide whether the Bush administration should be charged with regulating carbon dioxide emissions to combat global warming. In Gaza City, Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers are amassed at the border with Israel. They assembled after Palestinian militants abducted an Israeli soldier and demanded the release of all women and underage children from Israeli prisons. President Mahmoud Abbas has ordered a massive manhunt for the abducted soldier in an effort to avoid an assault. In California, two Navy fighter jets crashed in midair over Port Hunter Liggett in the central part of the state. One pilot was killed while the other ejected and suffered minor injuries. Across the West, firefighters continue battling blazes in four states. Lightning sparked a series of fires in northern Nevada that closed interstate roads. Meanwhile, some residents of New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado have evacuated.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Phelps Dodge has made an offer to purchase Canadian mining companies Inco and Falconbridge. If approved, it will create the world's largest nickel and copper producer. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy should do well this year and in 2007 because energy prices will eventually fall. But the bank also says until then, core inflation will remain a concern. The Commerce Department says sales of new single-family homes were up 4.6% in May. However, the median price of a home fell to $235,000. The Census Bureau estimates that the U.S. population will soon reach 300 million. The agency says much of that population growth is driven by Hispanics. Boston Scientific is recalling some of its defibrillator and pacemaker models due to an electrical flaw. It's the latest in a series of problems the company inherited when it bought Guidant last April. Johnson & Johnson is purchasing Pfizer's consumer healthcare division. The deal is valued at $16.6 billion. A new study published by the Annals of Neurology says that cell phone use excites parts of the brain, but whether that is harmful is still up for debate. Moscow now tops the list of the world's most expensive cities. New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are still the costliest places to live in the U.S. Light sweet crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 56 points, NASDAQ up 12, S&P 500 up 6. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps
8.
Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie,
everybody. Welcome aboard the debut, the launch of Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox coming to you from Sydney. Oh, baby. Why do I feel like this is going to be, this week, this little experiment here is going to be the martini at the end of the night. Everybody's been out there, hammering the hard news all day and Mark Levine launching things off, starting at, 2 in the afternoon. This is great. So here we are, kids, and this is where we get to, let down our hair, loosen up, pour whatever it is that you like, smoke whatever it is that you like, kick back. You can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON or email me at John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. Got some audio a little bit later on. We're going to talk about Tony Snow, because this guy is just what a winner this guy is. this guy is just, if you were, I jokingly say where the children of the night fight the radical right. We do live in an opposite world. So we might as well have a little bit of fun at their expense. And yes, the show has a Spinal Tap theme because, well, I sometimes believe the absurd tells the story well. And if you worked in my industry, Spinal Tap wrote my life story before I started to live it. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, it's great to be doing this. It's kind of been a hectic day, of course, all the normal stuff happening, Mark coming on board. Trying to get a few bits ready for this, but tonight, for those of you that know me from Fourth Estate Radio on Saturday nights, know that we do this series of lectures, and we have another lecture that I am going to be capturing tonight, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And so tonight's show is going to be a free-for-all, kind of, in a way. We'll set the tone for things. And taking from some, in the words of Ozzy Osbourne, none of us are truly original. We're all thieves. Some of us are just better at it than others. Taking from some other people in radio that I happen to dig, this show has a first-time caller sound. But we are not going to reveal that sound until we get a first-time caller. Ha, 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 ha. Can you smell the bait? Anyway, right. Okay, we've whacked the bottle against the ship. It's shattered. We're off. The anchor's been pulled. Where are we going to go to from here? Well, I think very, very soon, we will go to this Tony Snow audio. Now, I had a bit of audio for Fourth Estate on Saturday that I didn't quite get to, and, these things happen. But this kind of is tied in. I decided that on my shows, we're going to start coming up with kind of like superhero names for the people that actually go and do the real stuff, that actually go out there and have their feet on the ground or are actually putting up, fighting the good fight. So, I'd said previously that Mike Papantonio and Bobby Kennedy Jr. were probably the wonder twins of civil rights, if not democracy. I reckon will be their moniker. And Helen Thomas, I'm sorry, she is the rock goddess of the White House press corps. I'm sorry, she's just killer. So I'm gonna. Tony Snow, just smell the spin. This guy, he's not a news guy. He's not a press secretary. This guy is a PR guy. That's all I can tell you. So, Bob, please run the exchange of Tony Snow in front of the White House press corps where he says that the New York Times has undermined the Americans' right to live. Hit it, Bob.
in essence, going after the New York Times today. Are they trying to create a chilling effect on media outlets that might...
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a very good question, though. If the New York Times decides that it is going to try to assume responsibility for determining which classified secrets remain classified and which don't, it ought to accept some of the obligations of that responsibility. It ought to be able to take the heat as well. So the administration certainly is going to lay out its concerns and what it may mean for the safety of the American people and the integrity of the process of developing intelligence that can permit us to track down terrorists and prevent them from killing again. That's what this is all about. It's about what we can do in a time of war. Traditionally in this country, in a time of war, members of the press have acknowledged that the commander-in-chief, in the exercise of his powers, sometimes has to do things secretly in order to protect the public. This is a highly unusual departure. It's interesting that the Times talking about this program having been a departure from previous banking efforts. This is also a departure from longstanding traditions here in the United States. So it is, it's not designed to have a chilling effect. I think if the New York Times wants a spirited debate about it, it's got it. But certainly nobody is going to deny First Amendment rights, but the New York Times and other news organizations ought to think long and hard about whether a public's right to know, in some cases, might override somebody's right to live, and whether, in fact, the publications of these could place in jeopardy the safety of fellow Americans.
Do you hear this guy? I mean, is it me, or does it sound like this guy is talking to a bunch of children and not the White House press corps? That whole spin the fear in. You know, could be your right to live if the public's made aware. And I love how this, I'm trying to find words to say and going down a list, but all of them aren't cool for broadcast. It's just the dry sense. You know, Scotty McClellan was a different case. You know, he was just a different case. He was this sad, pudgy, you know, kid that looked like, you know, we figured if he could ride the horsey long enough, he'd, you know, set himself up well, not realizing that he was going to be hung out to dry. Now, this guy is so much cooler. I mean, this guy's a pro. Scotty McClellan was a pudge. This guy's a pro. You know, and to make statements that the press are being irresponsible or going against long-standing tradition, how about the fact that, you know, all these people do is stand against every angle of accountability that can possibly come in, and I'm going to see if I can track back and find that clip with Helen Thomas, because he just can't. He doesn't like Helen, because Helen sees right through him, you know? And this guy makes it scary to me, because he's so... Oh, kind of condescending about the whole thing. Anyway, I'm hearing some Tool there in the background. You're listening to the debut of Foxed Up. Please get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. This is the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right. Very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Place your hand on your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
I did the bird. Do the dead bird. Changes, get the dwarf cannolis, the little ones.
All right, I did the bird.
Come on, don't talk back, huh? Mime is money. Let's go. Come on, move it.
Cool is that music? Nice long fade there, Bob. Thank you very much. That's Dead Can Dance, if you've never heard that before. And if I'm not mistaken, and don't quote me on this, that's some sort of Celtic person and some sort of Australian person who kind of throw bits of music back and forth at each other, and they add things and then send it back, and then the other adds a little more and maybe a vocal, and then they send it back. And this is all, like, you know, kind of an advent of the internet. I mean, it started out with burnt CDs, I think, with the post, but now they just throw files back and forth. And they create some of the most just eclectic and wondrous and beautiful stuff. And I couldn't even think of the instrumentation list. But anyway, we'll hopefully bring more and more stuff like that into the playlist on the show. I was going to save this, but I'm sorry, I can't. And, you know, Bob was talking about it at the end of head on, and, you know, this whole thing with Limbaugh being busted, or not busted, sorry, I clarify, being detained. And the initial reports are just saying that he'd been detained and they had found Viagra, which I won't even entertain on radio why I find that hysterical. And I guess there were other things there, and they had to clarify some things. And the AP now reports that Rush Limbaugh was detained for more than 3 hours Monday at Palm Beach International Airport after authorities said they found a bottle of Viagra in his possession without a prescription. ICE officials found a prescription bottle labeled as Viagra, a drug that treats erectile dysfunction, in his luggage, Miller said. The problem was that the bottle itself was not in his name, but the name of two Florida doctors. Now, I'm not one to harp on someone's bad luck, but I don't know. Oh, it would have been last month's lecture. On Fourth Estate, I interviewed Steve Keen, and he had called his thing Wowzernomics, and he defined what a wowser was. And in Australia, a wowser is, you know, the kind of person who wants to dictate to everyone what kind of a purist life that they should live, but yet themselves are completely, you know, titillated by everything that they deem bad and are all usually caught dabbling in them. And coming from, you know, the cyst on loan from Dog, and I've heard him go on vicious rants about that, you know, someone caught with any quantity of even marijuana should be, you know, locked up for life and all this other kind of stuff, and they should lose all their rights. And okay, you've already weaseled your way out of one indictment, you fat, pudgy tub of lard. You know, you got out of it once, and then coming back from Costa Rica, I'm sorry, I reckon that the pharmaceutical and control laws there probably aren't real tight. And you'd think a guy that had weaseled himself out of a problem would be real careful. But this is what arrogant and misguided people will do. Even when they're given a second chance, they think themselves... Dominican Republic, pardon me. Pardon me, even more so then. Thank you, Bruce. I gotta say, I feel like the Head on Radio Network's version of Al Franken here tonight. I've got like the whole crew doing, running me research and all this other kind of stuff. I even have, you know, we got Bob doing the producer duties there, and the mix is just killer, and Agnes is the music coordinator, and Bruce is hanging out and sending me links, and wow. I was trying not to be all that serious, but thank you very much. And I also like to be corrected when I've misspoken. Anyway, you know, for a guy that has been this vicious, and, you know, I mean, we know that he is a creation, you know. This guy didn't do any hard yards, you know. His dad, uncle, somebody, you know, owned stations, you know, gave him a start. A little bit more than a jump up than any of us have. I can speak from personal experience, but anyway, he's just like a steaming pile of hypocrisy. That's all I can say about old Limbaugh. It's just a steaming pile, you know. And before we go out to break, don't forget you can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can email me at john@fourthestateradio.com. Love to get some callers in tonight. Hope maybe some new listeners will ring in. Those people, you know, coming in for a bit of therapy for the lack of fresh Malloy this evening. So, I can't repeat that, Bruce. Anyway, nice tunes. I hear good music. We're going to take a little bit of a break here on Foxed Up. We'll be right back on the Head On Radio Network.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Yeah, one of my favorite big concert bands. Nice one. Give me Aerosmith any day. Talk about a band that can just consistently, without much manipulation, just continue to kick out, you know. Even I've stopped paying attention even, and I hear new stuff, and I go, God, it still sounds rocking. But anyway, I miss good live music, and you've heard me rant about these things before. Many, many, many times before, but anyway. The hypocrisy never ends, does it? Like I said, don't forget you can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Got a couple of well-wishing emails from Nanette and a couple of other listeners. Thank you very much. It's very nice. And, you know, aside from just trying to rock it up a little bit towards the end of the night, you know, try and have a little bit of fun. Because, you know, we get all worked up all day long. All day long here in all this garbage. The misinformation. The lies. And that, and yet, right next to you, your neighbors, your friends, your family, you see the reality. You know, I had a couple of interesting conversations lately with other hosts on this network. And I even think Wayne has talked about it quite often recently. You know, you ask one of these, you know, really, really full-on conservatives, you know, to you, what is the purpose of government? And they don't, they most of them don't have a response. And there's a real simple explanation for that, because they don't believe in government. They, you know, make statements like, you know, want to make government small enough to be able to drown it in a bathtub. You know, and these are the signs that tell you what these people are really about. And this is why, you know, we do this, this radio project, you know. There's nothing special about any of us, you know, aside from that, in my mind, we're all similarly right-thinking people, you know. Bruce, Bob, Joe, Mark, Guy. But for some reason, we got enough of a bug to decide that we weren't the only ones that felt this way and we weren't hearing it. And just going on the sheer natural math of your own connections, it gives you this impetus to say, okay, I'm gonna plug in a microphone, hook it up to a computer, and just say what I think, because I think I count. They don't think so, and this is the thing. Or how do you put it? It's all about power. I mean, I know that sounds very simplistic. Everybody's going, no, duh. But, you know, I sometimes wonder if giving power to those who seek it is just a flawed concept to begin with. What do you think? You know, there's been studies done that very often the type of personalities that are attracted to becoming a police officer, not all, but are more inclined to abuse power that is given them. Read a few scientific reports in my day. You know, and from what I remember, you know, growing up when we still actually got, you know, some history, I'm not going to say it was all very good history. You know, politics is not supposed to be a full-time, lifetime profession. It's supposed to be a public service. You got in and you got out. But this deeply entrenched money that has absolutely poisoned almost every political system, democracy on this small planet, which I will consistently remind people is burning up at an alarming rate. And I don't think that that's being scare tactic about anything. That's just being purely realistic and looking at what continues to happen and accelerate because we've ignored the actual facts. I find myself finding this slightly hard to say, but I got really, really sucked into a replay of Jerry Springer's show over the weekend, you know, and I've said many times that Jerry's too light for my liking, you know, but I reckon he serves a purpose. But anyway, show's never really interested me much at all, but I don't think he deserves his place. But from what I caught, I believe he was in Germany for the World Cup. First of all, I think that's pretty cool. An actual international game and someone from Air America went. We won't talk about events that they sponsor, but... And Jerry was talking about how the view of America has changed. And it's undeniable to him that almost every time he entered a new social situation, he spent the first part of it trying to defend Americans. Because there was a time when the world did separate U.S. policy from U.S. citizens. But their patience has really run out. And they're not happy with us. In fact, they're kind of worried about us as a nation. You know. I mean, this twit that we got at the helm, who ain't even at the helm. But anyway, the phones have started. And on line one, we have Union Man Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Coming from the land, I guess, officially for you guys at the moment, of the midnight sun.
Yeah. Yeah, sir. It's getting awful close to midnight here. Well, we still got a little while to go. But so what time is it in Sydney?
Right now, we're getting on 20 to 1 in the afternoon.
Okay. God, that seems rather strange, but, you know.
Yeah, and it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday already, and it's actually a really nice, bright, sunny day, and the pollution haze over Sydney is, you know, not as bad as on other days today. So, and we've got an event down in the city tonight, so straight after the show, I pack up and run into the city to go and do another lecture thingy for the network. So you've recovered from the big shindig with your son on the weekend, have you?
Not fully, but I'll tell you what, though, I did find some more bottles of Corona out there.
See, I knew you would.
You
I knew you would.
Too. See, and I lied to you and told you I got the last one, but daylight, buddy, I spotted a bunch of them.
So now here's the question: how blue was your arm digging them out? Because I happen to know that there was salt deposited in that ice bucket.
Oh, you know that, do you?
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, frostbite's worth it, man. That's good beer.
What's up?
Well, I mean, what you were talking about earlier, I mean, how, you know, what this network and you guys are all about, you know, there is such a need for this, you know, most most people need somebody to say something first. You know, they, I don't want to say they need to be led, but they have these thoughts and they have these feelings. But sometimes a lot of people think, well, I better not say anything because maybe people will think I'm nuts. And the fact of the matter is there are a lot of like-thinking people out there. And this network and you guys are getting to people. And then that emboldens people to speak their piece, you know, to say that, wait a minute, these guys are right. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and, well, we've been talking about it on the in the chat room here, you know, I mean, you can, these people are criminals. I mean, this whole administration, I don't, you know, I'm sorry, that's the truth. They use the Constitution like it's a roll of toilet paper. They step on every right that we have fought and people, veterans have fought and died for. You know, this is a undeclared corporate war. I mean, I'm sorry, they need to be exposed for what they are. And you guys are starting to do that, and, you know, that needs to be said. We got enough Tony Snows and drug addict Limbaughs and, well, the whole, you know, the whole Fox network, and I don't mean to use your name in vain, brother.
No, man. That's part of the whole idea. Take back some of the good inclinations towards the name again, maybe, hopefully, just a little bit.
Well, you're certainly doing your part, I'll tell you. And, I mean, Tony Snow, oh, God, what a joke, you know.
Well, I find him painfully condescending because it's so well done. I mean, I have to give credit where credit's due. This guy is a PR master.
Well, you know, I mean, he's got everything going for him. He's pretty. And, you know, so people, you know, I mean, you know, people think, well, he couldn't possibly lie. You know, look at him.
He makes it look a lot tidier in soundbite form and in video bite form than Scotty did, because Scotty was looking rough, pale, and sweaty towards the end. Because I think that, you know, I bet before he got pulled into the whole neocon game, I bet he was just a really, really kind of quiet, pushed around kid and looked for and saw an opportunity to maybe get a chance to get a little bit of a step up and get some power.
Well, and that's exactly what he did. But, you know, I think probably you'll find out eventually that the guy had some little bit of conscience. And after all those years, it just finally got to him that, you know, I mean, you know, who, I don't know who, was it Randy Rhodes or somebody, you know, wanted to call up his mother and say, you know, do you condone your son lying like that all the time?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that.
And now, you know, maybe he got a call from mom. I don't know. You know,
I really think, you know, in the same way I think George Bush is in over his head, I think Scotty McClellan ended up getting involved in something that he couldn't sleep at night anymore.
That's exactly.
And you know, and if nothing else, I give him credit for that.
Well, listen, and who was the guy before him?
Receded hairline guy. Damn, I can't think of it at the moment, but I.
His parents were staunch.
Ari Fleischer.
Yes. And his parents were staunch Democrats. Am I talking about the right guy?
I do believe so, yes, and I have just had that confirmed.
I mean, his dad was quoted as saying that, you know, I mean, somebody said, you know, how could your son be a Republican and you know, be a press guy for the president? And he said, well, I don't know. He says, you know, I guess worse things could have happened. He says, you know, hell, he could have been a drug addict. He said, I guess that'd be worse. Not much, but
well,
something,
you know,
to that effect.
And I'm sorry, you know, I also think that the knee-jerk reaction just to the term drug addict is completely wrong too, because
well,
I mean this is
listen, I agree you're, with you're,
you know, here you're dealing with a conscious decision to commit fraud on the American people, and not just the American people, most of the world, you know. It's been nothing but a trail of death and pain and lies and theft.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, everything from the very beginning. I mean, from the day they stole the election or had the Supreme Court give it to them, the first election, and then they, you know, stole the second one. It's been nothing but a pack of lies. The whole war, the whole purpose for going, the whole, you know, everything. And, I mean, you know, a lot of people, to this day, the progress for a new America, or project for a new America century still isn't known about the way it should be. I mean, most people don't know about that. Most people don't know that these people were writing letters to President Clinton advocating the invasion of Iraq. And when, you know, when they brought this document all together and got this all together, and I've read it online, it says, you know, that they wanted to do all these things, but the American people would never buy it. And, you know, what they needed was another Pearl Harbor. And they got that on 9/11. You know,
and you're right about the fact that the fact that this document and who wrote it, what it really means. It's not a piece of fiction that somebody threw out there. This was a conceptualized plan in which America should move forward. That when these people were given the power to implement that plan, they have taken every opportunity.
Right, a conceptual plan for world domination. That's what it was and is, and they are implementing it. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, you know.
And
go ahead.
I've been thinking more and more, because I've been hearing a little bit more and more talk about it, that a lot of this, you know, we talk about it's about the oil, and it's not, and that it might not be so much about taking the oil, but taking control of the supply of the Iraqi oil, in other words, in a way to keep it off the market.
That's exactly right.
To keep the price inflated, which, you know, that thing, I don't know if you caught, you know, a few weeks ago when Al Gore was on Saturday Night Live, where he did that whole opening monologue where he says, you know, the oil companies are hurting.
Right.
And don't you think they'd do the same thing for you? You know, that whole routine. You know, I look at this country, you know, they could eliminate their need for imported oil with the flick of a switch because of the natural gas reserves. They could eliminate their whole profiteering situation with petrol, but there's money to be made, and it's the influence of lobby money, and, you know, and I really think that that's probably the biggest thing we have to get rid of, is the lobbyists and the machines.
Yes, you do. That, I agree with you 100%. You know, I mean, the way all that should be, I mean, K Street should be eliminated. You know, would like to think that you elect your lobbyists, your representatives that you send to Congress and the Senate. You know, those are the lobbyists of the people, not a bunch of rich people that will, well, I mean, I forget how many lobbyists there are per member of Congress. I mean,
some companies, some industries have multiple lobbyists per representative.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You know, they might have 2, 3, 4 people in their ear all the time. And the money, you know, you have to remember that the money doesn't just influence them when the campaign is on. The money influences just the choices that you even have for who your candidates are from before we ever get involved in the process, because it's who can get the money, and that's a problem.
That's exactly right, and that's why, you know, we need publicly financed elections and campaigns. And I think
the campaigns should be shortened. I think this whole thing about it taking bloody a year virtually out of, you know, government that does very little.
I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, but
people are gearing up already for the 2008 presidential election. And, you know, we haven't even hit the midterm 2006 yet. So, you know, that's another idea they should be shortened. But if we had publicly financed campaigns, and, you know, there's different versions. Now, some people think that, well, if you have enough money, you could use your own money. I think that's wrong. You can't use your own money. Hmm. It's publicly financed.
Right.
If you're running for this office, this is how much money you get, period. You're not allowed
to spend
your own money.
And get back to things like having scheduled real debates. Real debates.
Real.
Held by the League of Women Voters, who used to moderate them and set them all up and do that whole thing.
Yes.
You know, where we can actually, because this is, again, you know, Bruce and I used to kind of go off on the whole thing about, you know, gaining control of the language and gaining control of the discussion again, because we're not even having these discussions at all. You know, there's still this problem that I think about a third of even our Democrats are so bought out that we, as the real people and the activists, continue to be hollering in a bit of an echo chamber that has kind of a little bit of an offshoot to the powers that be. I still feel like we are somewhat in an echo chamber of our own, which is unfortunate. And I think that comes from K Street purely.
Sure it does. That's exactly where it comes from. And, you know, we have to get rid. I mean, you know, if you had real debates where you had to actually tell the truth and know the truth and know the facts, you know, then something that you could be judged on instead of a bunch of 15-second sound bites that don't even have to be true. All you have, you know, how many people have been beaten and political careers ruined by a lie in, you know, in 15-second sound bites? That nobody mm-hmm. ever researched to see if that's true or not true, but they said it.
Was it Reagan that had the line that just seemed to live on for ages, that, oh, there you go again?
Yes, yes, that was him.
And it was pretty much meaningless anyway, you know, because I think someone was actually asking him a pointed question, and it was just a, you know, that Teflon Ron thing of, you know. I just remembered that, man. That came out of the way back banks.
Yes.
Teflon Ron, because that was his thing. Anytime anyone tried to ask him anything serious, I mean, you know, Iran-Contra, he just went, huh? Who? What? Pardon who, what, where?
Well, exactly. He was, well, I mean, you know, the Republicans have made him a god, but well, he never got to that status with me, I'll tell you that. But
what I've learned in hindsight has completely cleared my shall we say misconceptions about old Reagan from when I grew up. But Wayne, I'm going to have to wrap it there because we're coming up on the news, mate. Thanks for ringing in.
All right, buddy. Good luck to you. And listen, man, I'm going to have to cut out of here. I got an early appointment in the morning. But
keep
go for it.
Keep at the good fight, man. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. I'll be talking to you. I want to hear what happened with your labor stuff here.
I will let you know about that. That's tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, man?
I'll check in with you tomorrow evening.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right, everybody. Thanks, Wayne. And that's Wayne, our union man from West Virginia, and we're coming right up on the news. This is John Fox on the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to Foxed Up. We'll be back.
Kiss me, no.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
This is the Quality News Network. At least 35 people were killed in Iraq today in two separate bombings. Police also said more than 20 other people were killed today in scattered violence, while the U.S. military reported a U.S. Marine had also been killed. The Associated Press reports that equipment costs in Iraq and Afghanistan will total more than $17 billion next year. That includes costs of replacing, repairing, and upgrading Army equipment. Military leaders are expected to testify before Congress tomorrow about the escalating costs of the wars. In Washington, President Bush said any reduction of U.S. forces in Iraq will depend on whether Iraqi forces are capable of taking over security. His comments came after General George Casey announced a plan to withdraw some 7,000 troops by the fall. Also in Washington, White House spokesman Tony Snow defended a post-September 11th financial tracking program revealed last week by the media. He credited the program for the apprehensions of a man linked to a bombing in Valley and a man from Brooklyn who provided massive financial support to a terrorist group. President Bush says it was irresponsible for the media to report the program, and one lawmaker urged the Justice Department to prosecute the New York Times. Mr. Bush said the disclosure hinders the U.S.'s ability to win the war on terrorism. But the Times says some of its sources were concerned about the legality of some U.S. policies. The Supreme Court has upheld the death penalty statute in Kansas, but overturned Vermont's election finance law, saying it hinders candidates' abilities to raise money. The High Court also said today that it will decide whether the Bush administration should be charged with regulating carbon dioxide emissions to combat global warming. In Gaza City, Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers are amassed at the border with Israel. They assembled after Palestinian militants abducted an Israeli soldier and demanded the release of all women and underage children from Israeli prisons. President Mahmoud Abbas has ordered a massive manhunt for the abducted soldier in an effort to avoid an assault. In California, two Navy fighter jets crashed in midair over Fort Hunter Liggett in the central part of the state. One pilot was killed while the other ejected and suffered minor injuries. Across the West, firefighters continue battling blazes in four states. Lightning sparked a series of fires in northern Nevada that closed interstate roads. Meanwhile, some residents of New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado have evacuated.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Phelps Dodge has made an offer to purchase Canadian mining companies Inco and Falconbridge. If approved, it will create the world's largest nickel and copper producer. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy should do well this year and in 2007 because energy prices will eventually fall. But the bank also says until then, core inflation will remain a concern. The Commerce Department says sales of new single-family homes were up 4.6% in May. However, the median price of a home fell to $235,000. The Census Bureau estimates that the U.S. population will soon reach 300 million. The agency says much of that population growth is driven by Hispanics. Boston Scientific is recalling some of its defibrillator and pacemaker models due to an electrical flaw. It's the latest in a series of problems the company inherited when it bought Guidant last April. Johnson & Johnson is purchasing Pfizer's consumer healthcare division. The deal is valued at $16.6 billion. A new study published by the Annals of Neurology says that cell phone use excites parts of the brain, but whether that is harmful is still up for debate. Moscow now tops the list of the world's most expensive cities. New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are still the costliest places to live in the U.S. Light Sweet Crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 56 points, NASDAQ up 12, S&P 500 up 6. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Getting all foxed up. Call the show at 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Hour 2 of Foxed Up here with John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia. And the cradle will rock. Someone from the home studio sent me a little link. And I don't know. Not saying anything now. Not condemning anybody. Hope you guys are enjoying the lawn being mowed next door. Someone sent me a Google search on Dominican Republic industry and sex workers. Eek. And not only that, young. Anyway, I am told that this Google search is posted at DU. That would be Democratic Underground. And Dominican Republic is one of those places where, you know, the banks are loose and so are the laws and so are the women. And, I mean, what was he doing there? I mean, not wanting to pry or nothing, but. Just makes me want to ask some questions, you know. It's not as though he was, you know, coming back from seeing the troops in Iraq, say. or, you know, coming back from doing a Canadian media run. I don't know. Why would it? I mean, I have trouble understanding why anyone in America would want to listen to him, why someone overseas would want to listen to him. I don't know. But then again, I think bombing and wasting innocent women and children in countries of choice and of convenience is a bad thing. But so, there you go. I'm the one that's a bit bent. Boy, I'm chain smoking tonight. That's not good. Anyway. I wonder if they're going to do any further tests on the rest of the chemical content in Rush's bag. And, you know, I thought he was a family values guy. Doesn't he have to save himself for his next wife? I don't know, you tell me. Now, on Saturday night, Bruce Birch, who hosts a fine daily show on this very network here from 3 to 5 Eastern Time every day, was having basically a night off from our show as his as one of his kids had a party and they, well, took over the joint. And he rang in regarding kind of an interesting follow-up as I go and get proper windows open. You'll remember that Bruce and I spoke about Seymour Hersh, someone who we kind of like to keep an eye on what he foresees, because, well, as far as the media goes, the closest thing I have to a fortune teller is that man. And he spoke about that the way the war is being conducted will shift. And that's purely for election purposes and saving face purposes. However, the casualty of this shift to a more air-based campaign and less ground forces is that the indiscriminate death will increase, and the ability for the remaining press that seem to value the recording of history and the challenging of world power more important than possibly their own lives, it will be much harder for them to do their jobs. So, you know, I mean, all we get now is pretty much numbers. You know, I mean, do they turn these numbers against the cost of the war and the profits made by Halliburton in some sort of profit and loss chart? Increase in profit compared to barrels of blood lost. That's an interesting website. Go by barrelsofblood.com. That's a wake-up call, that one. Thinking. Sometimes it makes this old hippie's head hurt. You know, someone said just in our production chat a little while ago, said, you know, another 35 dead in Iraq, you know, and that's 35 more dreams silenced. You know, that's 35 more mothers who won't ever, you know, hold their children again. The very life that they brought into this world has been hold and for what I ask. You know, I mean, this is my, you know, I want to ask the people that support this thing, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? And I am told that Bob from North Dakota is on the line. Bob, welcome to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. How you going, buddy?
Hello, my friend. From
Wayne. Been a long time. How are you?
I'm getting a wrinkle here. It's kicking back at me. Must be that Bob Kincaid there that's running the boards tonight. With his eyes propped open with toothpicks, just to keep it going, huh? Hey, welcome welcome to the Head On Network there, John Fox, that's trying to make Fox a decent name again.
At least make it entertaining again. I remember when you know, 20th Century Fox was, you know, always kind of like the big movies, you know, and I remember, you know, before the big musical films, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, watching the old, you know, film, black and white film versions of the old classic musicals and stuff, you know, and it was all 20th Century Fox, and now Fox, to me, is a dirty word, and that hurts.
No, a fox is a sly critter that steals chickens out of the hen house.
They're sly and very clever creatures. Yeah. I like to always look at the good side of them.
Yeah, well, there's cleverness, but hey, a fox is a thief, and foxes steal a lot of stuff. Huh?
I guess I'm fighting an uphill battle then, am I, Bob?
Hey, don't ever call yourself an old hippie. You don't even know what an old hippie looks like. You're just a young puppy hippie wannabe. You know what a hippie wannabe is? Huh?
I shudder to ask.
What a hippie wannabe is, it's the guy that wanted to be back there in the 60s and be a hippie when he wasn't a hippie and was somewhere else, you know, where he wasn't a hippie, you know?
He saw all them hippie guys
that had all them hippie girls, and he says, hey, what am I doing wrong, you know?
No, man, I was just born in 1969 and looked back and going, I should have been then.
You're the son of a hippie. You're probably the son of a hippie then, huh? Are you the...
No, actually, mate, I come from one of the heaviest Kool-Aid drinking households I've ever known.
Kool-Aid, huh?
Oh, man, we're talking card-carrying neocon.
Well, I had a friend I was talking to a little earlier, and he was telling me about some critter that they... has some lyrics in a song, and he thinks he's cool because he's got this song out, and it's got something to do with Haji Girl and how they like to, you know, splatter little Haji Girl's brains and how he crows
Dick.
About it, huh? And, you know,
that's
the
disgusting.
Funny thing is the guy calls himself a United States Marine, you know? And, you know, I'll tell you something, John. This is from a real Marine. And I never killed a child. I never did that. But I got in some gunfights with some people that had guns, and they had rifles. They had bayonets on the end of them, and they came at us up on 881, 861. Okay? And people don't know about that place. It's a place called Quezon. And it was back in 1968, okay? And they came at us with their bayonets and their rifles. But that was a hard fight against men with rifles and not little girls, okay? Not civilians. These people were soldiers, and they won back their nation. They won it back. They ran us out of town. They were courageous. And I have more respect for the Viet Cong. And I have more respect for the NBA than I do for this new breed of United States Marines. Marine that will make up such lyrics. He is not a Marine. He's nowhere near the honor, the fidelity, the honesty, the decency of a United States Marine. So
Bob, this kind of leans to what I was saying earlier. I think we've run into a time that we have marketed the career of the military at the wrong people. I don't think that the caliber of the Marines themselves has changed.
I do.
However, the general attitude of the recruits they are getting.
Maybe it's the attitude of the nation they come from. Okay, because when I grew up, when I came up in the 50s, they'd just come off of World War II in Korea. And they, you know, I'm going to ask you something, John. You're down there in Australia, okay? And how many Aussies do you know that served in Vietnam? How many do you know personally?
Personally, not that many, but I do have many friends that had older brothers and younger guys who had fathers.
Okay.
Okay. More out of kind of one bit of separation, but I'll tell you what you should look up sometime, Bob. Look for an Australian band from the 70s and 80s called Cold Chisel.
Mm-hmm.
They did a song call on there. They did a song on one of their early records called K-San.
Yeah.
And it is the Australian Vietnam anthem.
Ah.
I'm gonna give you
a bit of history from the NAM, okay?
Okay.
A bit of history, not the whole thing, because you can't lay out nearly 10 years of history in about 10 minutes. But I'm gonna give you a bit of history. The Aussies that came over there in support of us invaders, and in the same thing they're doing in Iraq now, but not quite the same, because those boys, we used them for scouting and doing some baiting, okay, scouting and baiting. Mm-hmm. We used to get them out there and doing their scouting, and when they got into a real hard place, we used them as bait to draw in the what they called insurgents, you know, because mm-hmm. there'd be very few and there'd be a lot of us, and we'd be just sitting waiting the helicopter in behind and block the retreat, as they would call it, as we'd come in with a hammer and anvil maneuver. And there's only a few people that actually participated in a hammer and anvil. When we'd do that, we'd kill them by the hundreds and sometimes by the thousands. And it was like a slaughterhouse is what it was. But these were combatants against combatants, not going and kicking down a house of some farmer and murdering his family like they did in that Phoenix thing. But them Aussies, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
How were they treated by Australia after Vietnam?
I'm not real clear on it, but I think a damn shake better than the Americans treated theirs.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that you do have still here is, aside from a lot of the recreation clubs being run by the sports teams and things, the rest of them are run by veterans of foreign wars and things like that. So they're like lodge halls that are local entertainment complexes, and they do everything from you know, veterans meetings to the bingo to, you know, the Whitlams rock band when they're touring around, you know, kind of thing. So there is more local infrastructure there that I think would pick up the slack no matter how possibly it was politically when they came back. I think it's just something that's in Australian society. They would have gotten a much better shake.
Yeah. Well, you see, for a good many, many years, the Vietnam vet was pretty much spit upon, or, the whole society kind of just turned their back on us. And then, until Bill Clinton came along, we didn't get a decent shake at all, you know.
Yeah,
everybody runs Bill Clinton down. I'm getting tired of this blue stained dress thing, you know what I mean? I'm really getting tired of all the jokes and all the talk. When that man left office, this nation was in the black. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, we were
absolutely.
We were paying down the national debt for the first time in history. The national debt that Ron Reagan ran up and Georgie Porgy's papa, what was his name again? George the jumper who jumped out of his plane like a yellow dog. And let his crew crash and die while he swam and got picked up by some submarine. And then they said he was a hero for bailing out on his crew and letting them crash and die. Because there's a yellow streak that runs in the Bush family, and it runs up their back or down the back of their head to the crack of their bush.
Well saved, Bob. Well saved.
Oh, well, I just said it the way it is, and it's the truth, because there are a bunch of yellow streak coward Republicans. That's all they are, and they use other people.
When you're talking about the fact that even the public had turned on the Vietnam vets in America, I think that that happens to be one of the stains of the anti-war movement of the time.
No. Don't blame it on the anti-war movement. Okay.
No. But I think we've matured through generations.
Yeah. Well,
and I think everybody was so angry about the war that they took it out on the symbols as opposed to who were probably some of the biggest victims of the whole thing, and it was a lesson learned.
It was. Hey, I told you. I don't know if I was talking to you or someone else about a young lady that I. My last mission in Vietnam was to, my first tour was to escort some dead bodies of United States Marines that had fallen on the Operation Kentucky 2.
I remember you telling me
that. One of was my captain's radio man, and my skipper's radio man got wasted that day, and my skipper... Because I was overdue for DROS, put me on a truck with nine dead Marine bodies, because they couldn't get all, they could not get all the bodies onto the choppers, because there were enough wounded that had to go out first, and there was nine that they couldn't take out that day, so they stuck me in a truck, but at a crossroads between Dong Ha. And you turn to the right at Dong, before you get to Camp Carroll, you turn to the right and you go toward Khe San, and we got to Camp Carroll, but there was this crossroads. It was just like a Y in the road, and we had to stop for a convoy coming up, turning toward Camp Carroll before we could turn. And there was a young woman. I think I talked to Joe about it. I told him that she stood there, and she cussed me. She cursed me in Vietnamese, and she cursed the whole United States for probably the loss of her loved one. You know,
yeah.
But. she had courage, because I was standing there in the back of that six-by, and I had an M16 aimed at her, and I had a banana clip with 30 rounds in it, pointed dead at the middle of her chest. And I had my finger resting right there on the trigger. So if she'd have flinched and went one way or the other, or I'd seen any real threat of danger, I'd have cut her in half. But she just stood there, and she cursed, and she cursed me, and I'll never forget that to my day and day. But she stood there, and she portrayed what I wish most other people would do, and that is she spoke truth in the face of death to power, because I had the power of life and death right there. But she gave me no threat other than that she had words to say to me. And it still rings true in my mind, because we had no business being in Vietnam. And there's no honor in Vietnam. There's no honor in Iraq. There's no honor in anything the United States has done since World War II. Korea or Vietnam. Or, well, what happened in Central America and in this these full wars? They're not really wars. They're something else. So there's no honor in that. And the men that serve in these wars are not warriors, John. They're not warriors. You know what they are?
What?
They're murderers. Because you don't invade somebody else's house and kill their family for protecting their own property. You don't go to someone else's place and into his domain or his religion or his beliefs and try to change them because you believe something else. You can't do
that. Your perspective and the history that you bring to this network, Bob, just blows me away. I mean, you're able to paint the picture where, you know, it's right turn, left turn, and what I see is you being faced by someone who realizes that they have nothing left to lose but everything to fight for.
Right.
And
you know what?
She stood her ground.
No. You see, you can kill the body, okay? You can kill the people, but you can't kill an idea. You can't kill the spirit of the person. You can only kill the body. You cannot kill belief, faith, strength, love. You can't kill those things. You can only kill the person. And when you kill someone that loves someone and is loved by someone else, all you do is create yourself an enemy. And that enemy will remember that. And, you know, I would love to go back to Vietnam to that point and see that woman and know her and let her know that I personally, not the United States of America, they've never really apologized for what they've done, what we did, what I did in Vietnam. We have never apologized to the Vietnamese people. But I can say in my heart that I grieve not only for my dead comrades and my fellow Marines that fought there, but for the Vietnamese people, okay? And I grieve every day of every week of every hour and through all these years, and I will grieve through eternity because I participated in something as egregious as Vietnam. And the young men and women that are in Iraq now for this latest fiasco, see, you won't carry the scars. You carry the anger. I hear it, and I hear some love in you. I hear a lot of hope in you. But see, you won't carry those memories. And I grieve for my children. And I think of these young men and women out there in Iraq as if every one of them, Cindy Sheehan's son, is like a, like one of my own sons. And when Cindy speaks of Casey and his courage and his willingness to go, not to fight for America or for the flag, but for his buddies and for his friends, and he couldn't desert them. Say, John,
Bob, thank you so much.
I do wear you guys out so much.
No, man. We've blown out the bottom of the hour break. But I mean, I'm sorry, man. You can when you're getting that much kind of history in that kind of raw form, who the hell am I to stand in the way? But Bob, I gotta take this break, so I'm gonna wrap it up. And I thank you so much. It's really great to hear from you. Thank you for checking in,
John. For you, I will say this: welcome to the Head On Network. And you know, you started out a little slow because you're not quite got your footing yet. But remember, baby steps. You take a little bit at a time. Pretty soon, you'll be singing just like Bruce Birch.
Right on, man. I thank you so much, and we have to get out of here. We're on top of the break. You're listening to the debut of Foxed Up. We just got a history lesson. We'll see you on the other side of this on the Head On Radio Network.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety.
Visit USPS.com and search the words dog bite. This message is brought to you by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Hello, this is Isaac Hayes. Music and children. Have you ever wondered why young people take to music like fish to water? Maybe it's because music is fun, plain and simple. It offers kids a way to move their bodies and use their voices. It opens up their minds to dream about great dreams about where they can go and what they can do when they get older. As a young boy, I remember. Our kids, American kids, come from more cultures and backgrounds than any nation in history. And sometimes the most fertile common ground they share is that of music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC.
They're not going to release the album because they have decided that the cover is sexist.
Well, so what? But what's wrong with being sexy? I mean, there's no
sexist.
morning, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I am John Fox, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. Looking at the end of the day for you folks there in the, the Western Hemisphere? I don't know. Anyway, after I get done with the show tonight, I have to go scooting off to downtown Sydney. And capture another one of our lecture series that will air, I reckon, sometime Saturday and Sunday this weekend. But check it, headonradionetwork.com. And by the way, I have been really, really lax. We're chatting at headonradionetwork.com. Hello, everybody in the chat room. You got to go by, go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the chat link, and dive in the pool. It's all good fun in there. Anyway... we've had a series of lectures. Many of you have told me that you've been enjoying the lectures because you're able to download them and listen to them kind of repeatedly and be able to absorb all this information because sometimes these things, even when you go to them, you get done, and by the time you've walked out the door, you remember 5% of what went on, but your synapses can still make all the connections and to be able to go back and listen to them. But anyway, it's going to be a little different this time. We've had journalist Anthony Lowenstein, and we've had historian Humphrey McQueen, and we've done economics. But this time, it's going to be interesting, and I think we're going to have quite a crowd tonight. We're going to have a gentleman by the name of Stephen Sewell. And just in the write-up at newmatilda.com, there it says, distinguished and critical playwright Stephen Sewell, The Return of the Real, Theater in the End of History, a new account of theater and its power and revolutionary potential. He was born in New South Wales. His plays are considered controversial for exploration into moral and political themes. He had quite a breakthrough film in 1998. His screenplay, The Boys, based on an original play by Gordon Graham, is about a Sydney Western Suburbs murderer. And the screenplay won Sewell an Australian Film Institute Award. And he's been quite outspoken on many political subjects. I'm a little, light on knowledge about him at the moment, but I intend to have a crash course tonight because I have to interview him afterwards, as usually goes on, and I hear that the Mr. Guy James, who mans this mighty head-on radio network stream in the afternoons, has popped into the chat room. How you going, Guy? He and Mark Levine suffer a problem over on this end of the world. I don't get to hear their shows much because, well, it's what we refer to as sparrow's fart here when they're on. Sorry, guys, really into the network, but 3 o'clock in the morning is just too early for moi. Anyway, I'm really curious about Mr. Mark Levine's program. I'll have to check out the archives later on this week after he gets a couple in the can with us. But as you probably know, and if you haven't been there and done the right thing, you should do the right thing. Go by the White Rose Society, and Ben is having his fundraiser, and if you're listening to this stream, you are enjoying his handiwork. So you got to go by and do the right thing. We do. No guilt involved. But if you feel some, please. If it drives you there, great. Anyway, so tonight I will be recording that lecture, and that'll be on the weekend, and an interview with Mr. Sewell on Fourth Estate Radio on the weekend. Also, coming up later in the week, and we're going to finalize some of these details in the next couple of days, working on a couple of guests. One, I do believe on Friday night, I have pretty well set in stone. A really good friend of the network, Lori Irvin, also known as Fire Ant in the chat room. Hi, guy! He's a law student here in Australia. He also is very involved with Amnesty International, so he's probably going to come in, and we're going to talk a little bit of Southern Hemisphere activism and some, I like to give you all a bit of what the rest of the world says whenever possible, because we all live in our own little media bubbles wherever we live, and you have to kind of chip and hack away, hear some other voices to get some perspective, you know. Just talking about, you know, Jerry Springer's thing about, you know, he's finding himself, while he's in Europe, spending most of his time defending his home country for what we're perpetrating on this planet. So, anyway, I'm just trying to figure where I want to go next. There's just been so much. I mean, the news of Rush just being detained just gives this little septic down under the giggles. Now, I tend to get into this subject a bit just because, well, not necessarily myself, but many, many, many close friends and comrades through life that I've known have suffered, fought, and beaten addictions in their lives. And there's a report out at FT.com saying that a new report has come out saying that the world is beating drug addictions. Great. I think that's great. Now, they make claims that places like Indonesia will be completely heroin-free in a year. All you have to do is watch the Australian news and see how many Australians get busted in Indonesia and other places for trying to smuggle the stuff here. I have my doubts. You know, we have seen here, you know, and I don't really want to take the steam out of what's supposed to be good news, but I find tidbits in there a bit disturbing. Now, we know that there's a whole lot of money, politics, and fear that goes into the anti-drug campaigns in our country. And believe me, I'm the first one to say that, you know, things like all these things are, you know, heroin, all these other things are like, you know, they're absolutely debilitating. They're horrible things. But I'm sorry, law enforcement is not the fixer. Usually these abuses come out of people feeling hopeless, and so it's just a symptom. But we've been seeing, you know, over the last 20 years or so with some of the medical marijuana laws that, you know, were enacted in the United States, some more solid science was put through when it came to something like cannabis. And we watched here in Australia a bit of an attempt to go into treating something like cannabis like meth labs and heroin and ecstasy, which is a massive problem here. I mean, there's a serious problem. But for a little while, you saw suddenly the state government here going off on a thing how suddenly, like, cannabis was enemy number one. This is coming from a country that isn't drug paranoid like the United States is. And funnily enough, we don't have the addiction problems that you guys do. However, due to our proximity to, you know, Asia, being that we're in Austral Asia, the fact that we know that record poppy crops are happening in Afghanistan since the start of our little war, and you can see the sign of that on the streets of Sydney. And I don't know why I really went off on this. But what I read in the article doesn't add up to what I see its conclusions being. And I actually want people to get real help. But anyway, I've gone off on an incredible tangent here, so we're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to get something to drink. Bob's playing some music. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. For the children of the night, fight the radical right. We'll be right back.
James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
You and the gang are out cruising North Carolina highways, but they're fixing up a little stretch ahead there, so you merge politely, and then some nut whiz by half in the bag. Wouldn't you just want to see him whipped? But hey, work zones are dangerous. I mean, it could be shelled or crushed or spread all over the highway. Heck, they could be put behind bars or in a bag. Whew. Drive safely in work zones. Don't be a nut.
Stay alert, stay alive in North Carolina work zones.
Do you remember what we were? Do you remember the project? At the Luton Palace, we were talking about a rock musical based on the life of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah,
right.
Saucy Jack.
Now is the time to do
you're
that.
You're a naughty one, Saucy Jack. You're a haughty one, Saucy Jack.
Right.
Oh, them dead presidents. Oh, them dead presidents.
Pulled that up. That's brilliant. Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Oh, I love the dead presidents, too. I could use a few. Actually, living queens down here would work as well. Okay, took a little break. John's recovered from the spiral, which was that, I don't know what that was. Anyway, one of the things that I had lined up earlier, that was great, love that track. Okay, we constantly are hearing things about spying, wiretapping, people's records, you know, basically civil liberties. Well, off of Raw Story at, what is this, page 1Q, says the Department of Defense admits to wider surveillance of Ask Don't Tell groups. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request, the Department of Defense has released documents to show wider surveillance of student organizations than previously reported. See lack of oversight. The Service Members Legal Defense Network has reported this. On April 11th, Page 1Q reported that the Pentagon had admitted to conducting surveillance of groups protesting the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy for gays and lesbians in the military forces. The new Frequency of Information Act request yielded information about an undercover investigation by the Pentagon on activities into student groups protesting the war at State University of New York at Albany, William Patterson University in New Jersey, Southern Connecticut State University, and the University of California, Berkeley. I mean, I didn't really. Okay. The one outfit, you know, is protesting the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing, and I understand that because I don't think anyone should have to keep up false impressions, whatever. But, again, no accountability. None. No oversight. So they're looking wherever they want, and then you have people like Tony Snow come out and say that the press is doing the wrong thing, when it could be the few bits of shining light that we have in the media left being forced to shine, not forced to, but doing their job, shining the light of truth or accountability on people in power. I still find it kind of amazing, and I always hold back my judgment because I'm not there, which in some ways is of great advantage, and in some ways it's not. You know, sometimes I just want to scream and say, why haven't you taken to the streets yet? But then I realize, you know, I'm not there. And then I read stuff like this. You know, you go back to, you know, on Fourth Estate Radio and all things, you know, a few months ago, the Greensboro 7. The whole incident with you know, the Homeland Security guy that wouldn't identify himself. Taking pictures of all the license plates of people taking part. And then finally identifying himself after they were all thrown in the paddy wagon. I mean, seriously, I laugh whenever I hear people on the right talking about freedom. Do you actually know what that is? You know? Is this a free America? I say, hell no. But that's just me. And, you know, Bob bringing up before, and I'm still shaking. I think that's why I got so loopy in the last segment. You know, Bob bringing up and giving us firsthand accounts. And, I mean, the detail that this man can remember from what he went through in Vietnam. And he's speaking about this woman who knows that all he has to do is squeeze his finger and she's toast. But at the same time, this woman had everything to lose and everything to gain all at the same time. And is it going to take a Tiananmen Square event in the middle of Times Square with some kid from NYU, you know, art student or something. You know, I keep wondering, you know, if we don't take it back soon. I mean, it's just going to get worse. Just going to get worse. You know, and I see things like this, and we have, you know, Halliburton building its detention centers all over the place for special programs. I mean, these guys are more Stalinist than Stalin. You know, they're more criminal than the mafia. And they are deadly. Ah, Joan Jett, very nice, very nice. And if we ever have Helen Thomas on this program, it's got to be Joan Jett to play her on, the rock goddess of the press corps. All right, everybody, you're listening to John Fox on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. It's time to take a break, have some news, and we'll be back for the final hour. See ya.
This is the Quality News Network. At least 35 people were killed in Iraq today in two separate bombings. Police also said more than 20 other people were killed today in scattered violence, while the U.S. military reported a U.S. Marine had also been killed. The Associated Press reports that equipment costs in Iraq and Afghanistan will total more than $17 billion next year. That includes costs of replacing, repairing, and upgrading Army equipment. Military leaders are expected to testify before Congress tomorrow about the escalating costs of the wars. In Washington, President Bush said any reduction of U.S. forces in Iraq will depend on whether Iraqi forces are capable of taking over security. His comments came after General George Casey announced a plan to withdraw some 7,000 troops by the fall. Also in Washington, White House spokesman Tony Snow defended a post-September 11th financial tracking program revealed last week by the media. He credited the program for the apprehensions of a man linked to a bombing in Bali and a man from Brooklyn who provided massive financial support to a terrorist group. President Bush says it was irresponsible for the media to report the program, and one lawmaker urged the Justice Department to prosecute the New York Times. Mr. Bush said the disclosure hinders the U.S.'s ability to win the war on terrorism. But the Times says some of its sources were concerned about the legality of some U.S. policies. The Supreme Court has upheld the death penalty statute in Kansas, but overturned Vermont's election finance law, saying it hinders candidates' abilities to raise money. The High Court also said today that it will decide whether the Bush administration should be charged with regulating carbon dioxide emissions to combat global warming. In Gaza City, Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers are amassed at the border with Israel. They assembled after Palestinian militants abducted an Israeli soldier and demanded the release of all women and underage children from Israeli prisons. President Mahmoud Abbas has ordered a massive manhunt for the abducted soldier in an effort to avoid an assault. In California, two Navy fighter jets crashed in midair over Port Hunter Liggett in the central part of the state. One pilot was killed while the other ejected and suffered minor injuries. Across the West, firefighters continue battling blazes in four states. Lightning sparked a series of fires in northern Nevada that closed interstate roads. Meanwhile, some residents of New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado have evacuated.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, The Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Phelps Dodge has made an offer to purchase Canadian mining companies Inco and Falconbridge. If approved, it will create the world's largest nickel and copper producer. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy should do well this year and in 2007 because energy prices will eventually fall. But the bank also says until then, core inflation will remain a concern. The Commerce Department says sales of new single-family homes were up 4.6% in May. However, the median price of a home fell to $235,000. The Census Bureau estimates that the U.S. population will soon reach 300 million. The agency says much of that population growth is driven by Hispanics. Boston Scientific is recalling some of its defibrillator and pacemaker models due to an electrical flaw. It's the latest in a series of problems the company inherited when it bought Guidant last April. Johnson & Johnson is purchasing Pfizer's consumer healthcare division. The deal is valued at $16.6 billion. A new study published by the Annals of Neurology says that cell phone use excites parts of the brain, but whether that is harmful is still up for debate. Moscow now tops the list of the world's most expensive cities. New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are still the costliest places to live in the U.S. Light sweet crude settled at $71.80 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 56 points, NASDAQ up 12, S&P 500 up 6. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Does this mean the popularity of the group is waning?
Oh, no, not at all. I just think that that their appeal is becoming more selective.
Your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All righty, welcome back to Foxed Up. John Fox here in Sydney, and that's Australia's greatest hard rock and roll band, the Screamin' Jets, bringing us in for the final hour. We should be hearing something new from them very, very soon, which, believe me, as soon as I can get my hot little hands on it, it'll be part of the rotation. Believe you me. Anyway, Gene, you just sent me a story, which, unfortunately, I can't get signed in to get to. Gene is just, you know, he rocks. Everybody, you know, this guy, I think Bruce was talking about him before, all day long. Every day, you know, here and there come these little links. And, I mean, I reckon he's the reason that I've been able to keep somewhat up to breast on the whole net neutrality debate and fiasco that's going on. I mean, that whole thing's scary. And talk about a bunch of, you know, fools for backing this. I mean, the Democrats that back this. From what I understand, a whole bunch of them are having now that they've kind of like figured it out because they weren't paying attention. You know, I mean, this is one of the biggest problems that we face is this small group of people that control all media that we have. I mean, all this legislation could you know, impact what we do here on this little network. You know? Some of the technology that, that we utilize. Some of this technology, you know? And how much of the major phone companies' gripe is just trying to maintain profits on an antiquated technology. You know? You know, that they're saying, oh, you know, it competes unfairly with their phone service. Well, you know, before the telephone, we had a Pony Express. And so just like we got over that issue, we'll get over this one. But, I mean, it's propping up a dead industry, just like the, you know, most of the corporate welfare, which is, you know, developmental tax cuts and all that, and, you know, that go on. The fact that, that five corporations now actually, Bob, that was a Jack Cafferty thing on wiretapping and surveillance, which I would like to get a hold of, because old Jack Cafferty's been he was a right winger in the past, if I'm not you know, not fervent, not evil, nothing like that, but I mean he was a conservative, in what I would consider what really would be centrist, not in the right skewed rule that we use these days. But I reckon he was, you know, a centrist. But, you know, this guy has been one of the most vocal when it's come to just how absolutely ridiculous this whole thing is. And how the fact that, you know, what was it Bob that said, you know, they're treating the Constitution as though it were, you know, a roll, you know, as we say in Australia, a dunny roll. And we have so few, in the mainstream media, we have so few voices out there, you know. We have so few people that have access to that many outlets. And it's, again, all about power and control. We went down a really, really bad road. You know, I do not want to come off as a Bill Clinton basher, but I'm sorry. The telecommunications bill was a really, 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 really bad thing. It's partially the reason why we're in the mess we're in now. It gave them the ability to pull the wool over those that weren't paying attention. Because those of us that did pay attention were out on the streets before we started this whole Iraq mess. I was there. I was amongst somewhere between, half a million and a million people in Sydney alone. And that was just here, just in a country of 20 million people. You know, just 20 million people, and very possibly 5% of them were on the streets of Sydney. And George Bush called it a focus group. Focus group, my shiny white behind. Focus group. You know, and it's that same kind of condescending type of speech, you know, that like Tony Snow gives to the White House press corps. Well, you know, they're putting you in danger. Bad, 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 bad kitty. You're not playing nice with us. Be nice if they just played. Because they're running the game. We're still somehow, for some reason, spectators. I'm not talking about everybody individually, but why is it that we're still able to be reduced when there were millions of us worldwide on the street before we got into this mess? How are we still reduced to a focus group? I think about the fact that something like 66%, something like that, of Australians at the time of the build-up to go in were telling John Howard and the government, we don't believe it. We don't want to go. But Johnny Howard and his buddies went anyway. They started, we've nicknamed it the Fear Fridge Magnet campaign. They sent everybody a little packet of how to look for terrorists, you know. People working in their garages late at night. Feel sorry for every kid who bought a V8 and decided that he was going to work on it on the weekends and at night. You know, all these really, really silly things, and we just, it equated to a Fear Your Neighbor campaign. And it was a racist campaign. And suddenly, you know, we get into the mess for a little while, and suddenly the Australian people, it's because of the media bubble, don't really even have a clue. It's as though there isn't a war going on. Hate to tell you, but there is. Had a lot of young men and women die. And I just see the same racist, fundamentalist traits popping up over here. And I just want to know, what is Australia so afraid of to go out on their own? You know, it amazes me. You know, got a big place, lots of resources, you know, it's all good. Should be able to have a pretty good life, but yet they're burning this planet, they're burning this country up like you wouldn't believe. And will now sell anybody the uranium for their programs, whether civil or otherwise. We're about to hit the break, and when we come back, we're going to come back straight to the phones, because I do believe that Gene is on the line, and he will hold on till we come back. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. My name is John Fox in Sydney, Australia, and we will be back right after this.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. This is an out-of-breath John Fox. I just found out how much ground can you cover during one commercial break. We have a little bit of a Houdini dog in this household over here in Sydney. And he decided to make me run to get him. I just covered three blocks back and forth. And I'm about better now. Anyway, as we were going out before and I called something really stupid on a song call at a break or something. Anyway, moving on. Gene is on the phone for me. Gene, get on the line, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Warm.
That's what I heard earlier.
It's roughly 33 degrees Celsius here.
Oh, you're getting up in that, like, 40. No. Yeah, you're getting up in, like, that 100-degree bloody Fahrenheit range there. That's
yeah,
warm.
It's 92, but we were at 101 earlier. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but...
at least it's improving. You can say that much.
Yeah.
What brings you bringing in? Is it that Cafferty thing by any chance?
I sent that to John. What I did was Dig has changed some things around. So apparently, I don't know why you can log in there, but I...
Usually I get straight in, and I don't know, I might have done something clearing cookies, and I just couldn't get my password on the fly, but Cafferty was having a spit, I understand?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was. I sent the YouTube link to your erstwhile West Virginia producer. And by the way, there's another story I didn't send you because I just saw it. But apparently, the chairman of the House Committee, I think it's a House Committee on Homeland Security, one Peter T. King of New York, wants to prosecute the New York Times for mentioning that little bank thing.
Yeah, and I've heard that there are right wing bloggers and stuff making threats to the New York Times and their reporters as well. I mean, this just always goes against their thing. It's not dealing with the facts that have been exposed. It's attacking the person who exposed those facts.
I'm wondering. I'm curious. This probably has absolutely nothing to do with the New York Times and the Bush spying thing. At least not on this end. But, you know, last week there was that thing on Wade Matson's report where they found that former neocon banker dead, and they called it a suicide. So
yeah,
it's just kind of weird there. So, you know, things are crazy, and what really gets me is, sure, they say it's foreign banks that they spy on, right?
Well, I mean, what exactly is a foreign bank?
Yeah.
I mean, everything's so international that, you know, you could be with Chase Manhattan, but those have, you know, they're publicly and, you know, internationally owned. So I would think that regardless of who you're banking with, unless you're with some what might remain of some sort of local credit union.
Yeah.
I would bet they'd be able to use this as an open door to go after you.
And I can't understand why the right wingers, I know some of them are, but I can't understand why the general mass of white right wing bloggers and stuff would be pouncing on the New York Times. I mean, don't they have banks and money and all that jazz? Wouldn't they be worried? I know I would be.
Well, I kind of sometimes think that the fact that I do this show and, you know, the rest of us doing these shows ends up protecting us a little bit compared to the average person, because I'd be really worried. You know, even the illusion of privacy is gone.
Oh,
you know, they basically said, you know, your life is an open book and we can go whatever, you know, after whatever we want. And I've been really impressed, and I have no idea how far behind we are, but that silly little program called Boston Legal has really taken kind of a very political turn as of late.
Mm.
And they had a great bit of ranting about privacy and the last bastion of it in a case on the program last night. And I kind of have been watching a little bit. The creative angle of the media,
yeah,
is starting to look at things and starting to portray things in a way that I think is part of what they're supposed to be there for.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're going to catch up in time before, you know, everything gets really clamped down right now when you were talking to Bob, I was thinking, you know, if it gets to the point where it gets really bad, I might consider doing a Vietnamese woman option, you know, kind of staring down somebody and go ahead.
I'll tell you what, man, I'll tell you right now, you know, there are some plans in the works for me to come back to the States, hopefully in the coming months. And when I do that, if some NSA guy rocks up to my door, or someone from Homeland Security rocks up to my door and tries to shut me or this show down, I will have that Tiananmen Square stand with them.
Oh, yeah. Why would you?
Because I'm over I'm over here and I can sit here and rant and rave all I want all day long and be really futile about it.
Yeah.
But the moment I get home and someone comes into my face, I guarantee you, I will let these civil liberties out of my cold, dead, sweaty palm.
Good idea. Why? I don't know why you'd want to come back here, but... but good luck to you if you do come back. Oh, and there was one other thing I was going to say. I talked to Bob earlier today about, because it was so hot in here, and when he goes up, my mouth just kind of runs.
Okay.
So I was talking about burning corporate flags as a way of...
Oh, I heard that. I like that idea, actually.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I was wondering, maybe the Australian unions would want to think about doing that for protest, you know, as far as doing that during, like, Anzac Day or something like that.
Well, actually, tomorrow here we have an open strike called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught the show on Saturday, but I was sent a media alert about the fact that the Australian Construction Workers Union has called for a general strike to protest the industrial relations legislation that was passed through here, which is absolutely gutting people. And I'm going to be very interested because there's been already strong-arm techniques telling people that under their new agreements they're not allowed to protest. So there's arguments now about can you actually stop people from their here Australian right to speak their mind?
Yeah, that's scary. That is...
The unions are strong still. The unions are, you know, they were gutted in the 70s, just like in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And the same kind of, you know, strong-arm media campaign was accomplished here, just like in the States. But ever since people, the day of this legislation taking effect, being fired and then rehired with loss of benefits and salary, rah, 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 rah,
mm-hmm.
The unions are having registrations going through the roof like they haven't seen in 20 years.
Well, it seems to me, though, that they still seem to have a little bit of heart. They're willing to actually... I mean, I know the unions protest in this country, but I you don't hear about it an awful lot. So.
No, and so, you know, it's why I always enjoy talking to Wayne about the idea that we really need to globalize the workforce.
Oh, yeah. You got to do something.
You know, we need to globalize the workforce. But thanks for that, Gene. I appreciate it. And I will check out that Cafferty video once I get done with the show. And we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, mate. So I'm gonna have to cut you off and take this little break, and we'll be back.
Take it easy.
Thanks, matey. Always good to hear from you. And you're listening to the debut of Foxed Up with John Fox on the Head On Radio Network. We will be back for the last half hour right after this.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a two-year-old.
My truck!
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
Coordinator people, welcome back to Fox Up with John Fox here on the Head On Radio Network, and want to thank, of course, my producer Bob Kincaid, musical coordinator Agnes Kincaid, for just really rocking things so far tonight. It was just, this has been kicking, and we'll, you know, as I find my footing here with this new little endeavor, it'll just keep getting better and better. And Bruce has been sending me links and all kinds of stuff, but Gene, who we just got off the phone with, sent me another story that I did get into. And I really would hate to be a teenage kid in today's America. So at a website called hammeroftruth.com, the UN considers a T-shirt a threat. Out of the Canadian government's news agency, a weeping Nathaniel Lozano, 19, told CBC News the incident began when three women lined up at a security checkpoint in the building on their way to the washroom. Lozano says officials searched their bags and confiscated T-shirts with a political slogan on them. We had T-shirts that say, "Don't be a war toy," and we had them in our bags and didn't even have them on. When they saw us, badly written, and the backpacks with them, they took it from us, and they say we couldn't get them. But she says she decided to back one of her friends who refused to leave without the T-shirts. I was a little hesitant. I didn't know what to do because I got a little bit scared. But she said she wasn't going to move at all, so I decided to stay with them. A 19-year-old kid with a T-shirt in the bag. This is a threat. You know, our mate Peter rang in on Saturday night talking about, you know, the Chinese banning disco. And this kind of stuff is ridiculous. A 19-year-old kid and a T-shirt. You know, I remember incidents with T-shirts in high school. And I always used to love the comment made that, you're a disruption for wearing that T-shirt. And I always used to say, well, the only disruption seems to be all the noise that you're making about it. And like a lot of things, I really wonder what these people are scared of. And at the UN? At the UN. All right, okay. And now, as I'm scanning through it, it says they were dragged off a Vancouver Convention Center where it was a UN event, to clarify. You know, and this is happening in Canada. That really worries me. This whole kind of conservative swing that they've taken, and their new prime minister boy is all very, very touchy-feely with our little maggot Johnny Howard. The world has gone insane. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. The world has gone absolutely insane when kids in a T-shirt in a bag, not even on them. But I mean, are they this paranoid of the discussion? Well, obviously the answer to that is yes. Because it's really hard to back up a lie. Now, speaking of lies, one last thing from Raw Story. Former Bush Assistant Secretary of State says, don't accept the crap we give you. It says, appearing before the Senate Democratic Policy Committee, former Assistant Secretary of State for Intelligence and Research, Carl Ford, called upon policymakers to accept part of the blame for intelligence failures, telling them to, quote, not accept the crap we give you, unquote. That's the kind of accountability we might need a little bit, and have it go a little bit deeper would be nice. But I don't know how many of you were able to catch the Frontline thing on PBS about Cheney and the dark side. And if you haven't, you can watch it online at pbs.org. Just find their its Frontline website. And, I mean, it plays right in this. Do not accept the crap we give you. And that's because Cheney and his buddies created their own little intelligence circle so that they could put what they wanted. What was it that Bob said? The scared nation marches on, or some other crap? You know? Those arrests in Florida, don't even get me started. And thank you to the home studio. They just sent me out of Yahoo News. Bush ignores laws he inks. I mean, come on, if this is an opposite world, you know. Senator John McCain thought he had a deal when President Bush, faced with a veto-proof margin in Congress, agreed to sign a bill banning the torture of detainees. Not quite. While Bush signed the new law, he also quietly approved another document, and signing statement reserved his right to ignore the law. McCain was furious, and so were other lawmakers. Probably makes them wonder, why are they there? I've often wondered, why are they there? And it continues on. The Senate Judiciary Committee is opening hearings this week into what has become the White House's favorite tool for overriding Congress in the name of wartime national security. It's a challenge to the plain language of the Constitution, the committee's chairman, Senator Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania, said in an interview with the Associated Press. I'm interested to hear from the administration just what research they've done to lead them to the conclusion that they can cherry pick. Here we go. The cherry pick line comes up again. They pick and choose for whatever purpose suits them at the time. They will contradict. They will lie. And they will absolutely go around the legal system that we have. What is this system worth if the lawmakers who make law can't have that law stand? And you know, I mean, this whole unitary executive thing, bunch of BS. Line item veto, oh my God. Do they really want Hillary Clinton to possibly have a line item veto? I mean, this was the argument that we used the last time we had this discussion, and the Republicans went then, back in the 80s, said, oh, yeah. Or is it because of the fact that they now control the voting machines and the elections that they're not worried about it? Stuff drives me crazy. Drives me absolutely, absolutely crazy. Because I feel like a broken record after a while. Because, you know, all the news is the same news. More lies, more deceit, more red herrings. You know, don't look at my torture, look at my gay marriage proposal. Don't look at me spying on you, your kids, and your grandmother. Howard Dean's a nut job. You know, don't mind the fact that you're being bent over by the oil companies, but yet we'll take their money and pass favorable legislation. When does it end, and when do the trials begin? Because I think I'm going to test the waters when I come back. I think I'm going to take my flight back to the United States wearing a war criminal shirt with Bush's picture on it. Let's see how long it takes me to get out of customs. We're going to take our final break before we come back and wrap things up for this, the first edition of Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. My name is John Fox. This has been kind of a ball. And we're just going to keep doing this every night this week. And we'll see you right after this break.
You folks are crazy. This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
I love working with people that have taste in music and a feel for a lyric. That is just awesome. Welcome back, everybody, to the wrap-up here on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And big, big kudos to the dynamic duo, the Kincaids, who have pumped my program along tonight, and Bruce and everybody. And Bruce is on the line. We'll get him on here in a second. And what a great time. And as soon as I get off, I'd love to pop into the chat room, but I got to pack up and go. We got a lecture, so you got that to look forward to on the weekend. But what a great time. And as usual, thanking the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They make everything on this network happen. And Peter Godbold, I know you're already off in La La Land, but thank you, sir. You keep the bits running free and true. And on the line is my partner in crime on the weekend, Mr. Bruce Birch. How you going, buddy?
John, let me be the first one. Well, I may not be the first one, but let me be at least one to congratulate you on a fantastic, wonderful, entertaining, intelligent, verbose, and
if not loose.
But seriously, John, you did a fantastic job tonight, and I just as half of the dynamic duo of Fourth Estate, you rock, my brother, you rock. Good job.
Thanks, man. Well, it's been definitely a lot of fun, and this is such a different feel to what you and I do on the weekends, which is just completely a great little animal on its own.
It certainly is, John. I wanted to ask you a question, or actually, I just wanted to. You know, I was on hold there for a minute, and I know you probably got to rush away, but it just amazes me. We have these PSAs. The government probably spent, I don't know, who knows how many millions of dollars producing that PSA that we had on the air just a second ago. And did you know that some of the, you know, senior members of law enforcement who are charged with looking after those very crimes, those exploitative crimes, actually are the ones who are doing the crimes?
Well, this goes right back to the Australian term of the wowser.
Okay.
Where you know, these people that want to profess and tell us how we're supposed to live our lives and tell us everything that's bad when they themselves are titillated and usually get involved in all these things that they try to tell the rest of us we're not supposed to do. And so the Australians call them wowsers. You know, they make all this noise about what everybody else does, but don't ask me about my own life.
Yeah, I swear these people are it's like our good friend Ben Birch likes to, he's calling them, he's no longer calling them the Bush crime family. He's calling them the GOP crime syndicate.
That's about what it is, man. You know, I mean, that really is what it is. I mean, we now are on generations of these people working their way into key positions in government and staying there.
Oh my God! You know, it's going to take quite a bit of whiteout or to get rid of these people. But you know, I just that was a pretty good joke, actually. You know, off the cuff. But you know, I wish there was a bottle of Bush out, right?
RICO. I'm just told it's RICO, Republican Influenced Corrupt Organization.
Oh, there you go. Hey, that's our good friend Bob. He's quick on the uptake. He doesn't fall down on the job. But you know, just the other thing too, man, is just that you know, it's really good to see you launch this program and you know, the best of luck. I'll do everything I can to promote the hell out of you on my show and you and Mark Levine both. I think this is a wonderful week for the Horn and for all the guys and gals of the Horn. I just wanted to say thank you and congratulations and keep up the good work, my friend.
Well, thanks, man. I feel like me and Mark and I have become the bookends, which are the Horn.
or the shoehorns. No.
Yeah. at least I'm going to try and be the book along the backside of the head on some people at some points. But I appreciate the call.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, man, it's so easy for us to get falling straight into our rhythm that we get into on Saturdays. But
I fear that our friends Jim and Peter probably aren't listening this late. So, you know, maybe they'll hear about it on the archive tomorrow. Anyway,
yeah,
you got to get going.
Right on, man.
Thanks a lot for taking the call and good luck on the lecture this evening, and talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy, you have a great day tomorrow. And that is my best mate, Bruce Birch, from the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network from 3 to 5 Eastern Time every weekday. And don't forget, the festivities kick off now, every day at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with Mark Levine, flowing straight into Bruce Birch, who was just on the line, going into Bob Kincaid. And then the lunacy with me, we'll do it all again tomorrow. The Horns of Dilemma. anyway, before we go out, got about 2 minutes before, or a minute and a half before the music goes out. Our play out song for this show is going to be Spinal Tap opening up for Spinal Tap. I don't know if anyone who may have caught a little film called A Mighty Wind. Well, it's the same bloke, same idea. And they used to open up for themselves and get booed off the stage, opening up for Spinal Tap as the Folksman. Well, give it a couple of decades, and when everybody gets the joke, they can end up touring on their own. So, to take us out tonight, and if you catch on to what it is, please sing along. Thanks for being with me on... Not Fourth Estate. I almost said it. Foxed Up with John Fox here, coming to you from Sydney. And here's the Folksman. Sing along when you get it. Good night.
None of that, please, Al. This is a family crowd. Are we sure of that? An extended family crowd.
Yeah.
Get more extended all the time. We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
The
Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. I've been running hot. Running hot. But you got me ticking on the floor top. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. We'll never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
The oil, the gasoline, I